Loving God, your mercies, gifts, and grace are new every day. We praise you for loving to hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, L'chaim.
L'chaim.
In Jesus' name.
Hello, everybody. It's a brand new week that Lord Jesus Christ, the one true God, gave us, and it's good to be back with you. I woke up today.
Are you talking to Jesus?
Uh-huh. Thanks, buddy. And I woke up today. I felt like I played in a football game. Steelers won, of course. The only team other than one of three teams other than Dallas mm-hmm. and San Francisco 49ers, the only team to win five Super Bowls.
Wow.
Now, obviously, you know, it's a new generation and all new players, but I figure players come, you know, some stay, some go. It's a franchise. If you can get excited about what a winning record the Yankees have,
right,
I think
no.
it's pretty incredible to say the Steelers won five times.
That's awesome. I thought they were like, I thought they were the underdog and they don't win a lot, and that's why this is so special.
They haven't. I think people like the idea of a blue collar team winning,
right?
Like meaning, you know, the city of Pittsburgh.
Okay, everyone's just a big Pittsburgh fan.
I think when it comes down to it, I think when it comes that your team lost.
Right, a lot of New Yorkers were into Pittsburgh.
Right, you're picking to what used to be, you know, the only or the number one town that may produced steel versus what the fuck is a Seahawk? People are on Pittsburgh's side.
Okay, I see.
And try not to be distracted, by the way, as we're doing the show. I'm making DVDs.
Yay.
Tomorrow, go over. I'll switch this DVD, go over the...
Okay, tomorrow is Tuesday the 7th, and at 7 o'clock, we're going to be at DEKK, D-E-K-K. You can go to thedeck.com, where Keith's DVD screening will be. And that is going to be the first time that people are going to be able to get his new DVD and CD in their hands. But for now, we just put up the new CD and DVD in the store, keithandthegirl.com/store. And you already sold a few without us announcing it yet.
That's right.
I guess people know that it's going right. to...
But now it's officially available, and it's so good.
It is really good.
It's so good.
I know
good.
You're being sarcastic or whatever. You're just exaggerating because you find it weird to talk about
it's
yourself.
It's very weird.
But it is phenomenal. And I'm really glad that we're doing the screening thing so that people can write their opinion on it,
right.
you know,
the idea,
on the forums.
And which is weird. Like, you had this idea. I didn't even know such things existed.
Screenings? What
like
do you mean?
That. I don't know. I'm like, they're seeing my stand-up on video. You know, it seemed weird to me. And then I saw an old Curb Your Enthusiasm that had Richard Lewis. The main jokes took place in an HBO screening room, and they were screening his thing. And I'm like, I guess that's a normal fucking thing. And then I guess this place, normally it's movies, but screens movies once a week. And I'm like, what's, okay.
Right. And
I guess
honest,
adults do this.
Seriously, I was looking for an excuse to get some Keith and the Girl fans together, you know, kind of meet everybody and let everybody else meet each other. And I don't know. I think it'd be fun. So I think this is the perfect right. thing to get everybody together for, because it's kind of like has to do with the show and everything. Right. So
I'm excited about that.
Very excited.
And just an exciting week. The Super Bowl got me excited.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Really? Were you excited? Yeah! Oh, yeah! What was that? Oh, I didn't see that because I blinked. Can everybody tell me what just happened? Oh, did they just score another goal? That's what I thought.
And just to be a dick, that's you Keith. Know, I had some takers on $20 bets on who's going to win, but I have a gambling problem. So I'm the jerk off betting on the coin toss. You know, they don't even want to bet. And I'm like, come on, bet. Come on. It'll be fun. Come on. You know, you're not really into it unless you have money on it.
Here's a question that I have to ask you. Matt was over.
Right.
And I know he's going to be listening to this. So when you admit this, you're going to admit it on the air for him to hear. But that final bet that you had with him, I feel like, because he owed you $20 by the end of the game,
Matt,
right?
The guy that made the DVD.
Yeah.
We'll see tomorrow.
Yeah. So
we bet most of our bets were on who's going to score the next point, $5 at a time, until it was $20 or $30 he owed me.
$20.
Okay.
He owed you $20. And then the Steelers were just about to win. 3 seconds on the clock.
3 seconds on the clock. Seahawks have possession of the ball. Why in the last 3 seconds would you take a knee and not try to make a pass?
I think you just
not
threw
try
it.
To make an extra point. So I said Seahawks will make a play. He said they will not. I bet him double or nothing.
I think you did that on purpose so that he won't owe you money because he feels so bad because he did the whole DVD.
How do you... And he made
Am
it clear
right?
ahead... Yes.
Ah.
He made it clear ahead of time that, you know, of course I'm good for it, but I don't have the money here on me. Well, you know, I'm not going to go, oh, yeah, by the way, right. you know, I mean, obviously we're men and you owe me $20.
Right.
Anyways, yeah. Let's watch my screening.
And I was going to yell at you. I started calling you out on it. That's so dumb. Of course they're going to take a knee, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I'm an asshole. Like, let Matt not owe us money. That's retarded.
Great food. Thank you very much. We had Matt. We had Adam. Patrice stopped by. It was Patrice's birthday.
And old roommate Evan and his girlfriend.
Who beat us back from the food store, you know, getting drinks and getting food.
We were late. He was early and we're still in the store and he's by our house.
So it's good to have you back, Evan. If you can help us get the house ready because it's a fucking mess from construction. He has to help me carry tables, move shelves, make it look, you know, halfway presentable because, you know, those of you that were wondering what happened to my buddy Chris, are we not friends anymore because I made him, you know, he was willing to act like the maid. Never showed up, this fucking pothead. And you can't blame him because you know what kind of person he is. And he doesn't mean it. And you call and you go like, you know, and, you know, I know, but like it's 3 p.m. He didn't call, you know,
right.
That he forgot. But Hemda makes me call people.
It's
like, make sure he's okay. Spooky was going to come to her Super Bowl party. I realized at a certain time he's not coming. And
that's the guy thing. Like, if you don't show up, you're just not coming. But
right.
Me, I'm like, well, he already said he's going
to
show up.
I had to call Spooky.
Yeah.
I didn't want to call you Spooky.
I know. You know what's weird is I only had to ask you one time to call Spooky. I thought you'd be like, he's not coming. He's a guy. We don't call people. That's what you usually do.
Three and a half years. You know when you just give up.
You should, because I was ready to argue the point. So I was really glad that you called him.
But I always call with you. Hi, I know this is stupid. But did you get home safe? Hi, I know this is stupid. Hinda wants to know. You're not coming, right? Hi, I know this is stupid. Are you getting robbed right now? Okay. Everybody's always okay. But what if they aren't this time?
Right, the one time,
well,
though.
Right. But no, you know, Chris just totally forgets things, so he didn't come, and we had to quickly clean up.
See, but with the Chris thing, I wouldn't make you call because what happens with Chris is you guys plan on getting together, like, oh yeah, I'll see you later tonight around midnight or whatever, because that's when you get off work, blah blah blah, and you'll just go home. You'll just go home.
I won't be in the mood after.
No, I guess no. It's midnight, but I don't feel like it. Let's just go home. And you guys do that to each other. Like he'll say,
and
oh,
it's
I'll
not
meet
leaving
you at
the anybody
bar.
Hanging. It's not really like if I don't meet him, he's going to be by himself.
No, you guys just tell each other like, here's where I'm going to be around this time. If you happen to be around, oh okay, I'll make it around there because I'm going to be around there. You stand each other up like that all the time, which I think is fine. So I'm never concerned about Chris. But if girls did that. If I said, yeah, I'll probably be in the neighborhood, I would have to call you, text you until I get in touch with you if you're a girl, because otherwise I'm standing you up and what the fuck.
So, you know, like we said, of course, Chris was going to, you know, smoke weed and he gets into this mode where he can clean. And I'm like, maybe he'll do a better job than the maid. It'd be more comfortable. Will it be more or less comfortable hanging out with my friend? It's almost an experiment I wanted to know. Well, I do have to say this, Chris. The maid shows up. Next time, you're not getting $60. It's going to be $55. First off.
By the way, the girl that we usually get, she's retired.
You think? She never called back yet.
No, she did. She called me back again today.
Oh, she is retired.
She's supposed to come tomorrow, but apparently she's not really retired. She has an actual full-time job.
Oh.
So, yeah. But she might recommend someone. Now I have to watch this new person if they're going to steal from me the nothing that I have.
And you know, she's like, yeah, I can either once every 2 weeks go to your stinky-ass house that you never clean at all until I come over, or do a steady gig, meaning I just cleaned the house yesterday.
Right.
I'm here again today. It's not going to be so bad.
No, she works in a hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. And yet our house is still worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than these people crapping themselves.
You're just assuming that she's changing diapers.
I feel like I told this story, but I drowned one. I couldn't swim, and I'm not a good swimmer now at all. But I couldn't swim when I was a kid, and my sister had a. Did I tell the story? And my sister had a birthday party.
Yeah.
And my younger sister, who's 3 years younger, so I'm at her birthday party, and we had a beautiful high school with, you know, all the amenities, and we're the parties in the pool.
Of your school?
Of the school.
I didn't know that.
The school had a pool, a weight room, yeah, everything.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you had to pay, but yeah, you can use it.
Oh, okay.
And so it was for the party, and even though I can't swim, that does not keep me from using the diving board.
What an ass.
Because I will run on the diving board as fast as I can, jump so that I
try
it's
to
more
get in
jumping
the shallow.
Than diving to get as close to the shallower part as I could. Now, of course, that takes a little bit of swimming, but not much, and I'm fairly tall. You know,
that's your big plan.
Right. And it worked. And I did it a couple times, and I had to do it one more time where I'm running and I slip I fall and I slide the length of the board right into the water. And I start, like, I'm able to bob up every so often, but I know I'm panicking.
Oh my God.
You know, I mean, it's a pool. How deep can it be? It's a school pool, but I really don't know which way's up. I end up getting to the top and I'm trying to scream or, you know, yell for help, and I'm feeling the water in my throat.
Oh my God. And you didn't tell it like this last time. Jesus.
And everybody during that time seems to be part of the funniest conversations ever. There's like four groups of people around me in different locations, and you just hear, "Ah, that's so funny." And then you like look at the other group for help, and they're just laughing. I'm like, "I'm going to fucking die." And then I black out for a second, because the next thing I know, somebody grabbed my arm. And it was the lifeguard. And then I found out later, my sister saw me drowning, told the lifeguard, who wasn't paying any attention. And then the lifeguard picked me up and, you know, saved me. And then I'm on a stretcher being carried out, and there's all my sister's friends watching me. How you don't feel like the biggest douche. Aww. I'm 3 years older, the older brother. Thanks for the party. Then I get to the hospital, and this is what made me think of this. And, you know, and I meet my dad there. And anyway, they want me to pee in a cup, and I guess they can tell if I'm okay, after I've been laying in this bed for a while. And I can't pee for the life of me. And then I'm like, I take the jar away from my dick, like, okay, I'll have to tell her I can't pee. Just start squirting out pee all over the bed, and she has to come back and clean up
your pee.
And she's peeing up. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Oh, it happens all the time. It does not happen all the time, but bless you.
That's like me when I told you everybody craps in their pants when you crap in your pants.
Right.
You do a lot of weird movements of your body, like bowel movements and whatever, mm-hmm. in weird times. Yeah. Nice.
I'm not convinced that pee thing didn't happen twice. So yeah, working at a hospital would not be a job. I would rather work at stinky ass houses like ours.
All right, then I'll call her up and ask her to reconsider.
Right. give her a couple days.
Right.
Give her a couple days. People are gross. Especially you're in a place that you don't have to clean up, you know? Being a hotel worker must be fucking gross.
But I really love how you assume she's just cleaning up after people in the hospital. You're just assuming that.
She doesn't have seniority.
Right.
Somebody's cleaning up waste. You know, and she doesn't speak the best English. Now, granted, it could be all Spanish people, but she doesn't speak the best English. They're going to, you know, you make those people do the shit jobs, and she'll every answer's okay, okay. You know, whether they do it or not, that's a different story, but everything's okay. No problem. Oh, well. As for the Super Bowl itself, it starts, of course, not of course, if you didn't see it, but, you know, all the players are there. They're about to do the Star Spangled Banner, and they go, now we're going to pay homage to a player that's better than any of the players on the field, or a person that's a better player than all the players on the field, something like that. And you see some of the players like, who the fuck's this? Because I'm good. Did you see the interviews? Did you see the pre-interviews? I'm fucking good. Like who? Rosa Parks and Loretta Scott King.
Oh, wow.
And then they show their pictures, you know, that they're both dead. And then some of the players are like, oh, good.
I
thought it was Joe Theismann. Okay.
They should warn the players.
Right. And then they take Rosa Parks' head, the graphic, and the head of Loretta Scott King, and they bang them together like football helmets. I thought that was bad taste.
Sure you did.
And then it bangs, and then, you know, Hank Williams Jr., let's play some football! And I'm like, all right, well, thanks for the contributions. But Harrison Ford is there's always a celebrity, you know, that, like, opens the Super Bowl and says something. And that this time,
boy, I must have been cooking at this time, because I don't remember anything.
You were out. You were getting blue cheese and picking somebody up, I think.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And you didn't miss nothing. You missed Harrison Ford doing, like, a Dr. Seuss thing called All the Places They Will Go, and everything's a rhyme.
Football Sunday?
And I've mentioned this before, yeah. Harrison Ford is a retard. He doesn't know where he is. Regarding Henry, that really fucking happened. He's half retarded. You watch him in any role now, he's half retarded. He's not going to be the main character in the new Indiana Jones, I guarantee.
Do you think he had a stroke and like didn't tell anyone?
Yes, I do. I honestly do. That's exactly what he looks like. He's not. See him in an interview. He doesn't know where he's at. He doesn't know why. They're like, oh, the places you will go. The give me my fucking check. What's this for? He doesn't even know what it's for. And then they cut to different. Then other people that finish this rhyme or jump in are great football heroes. Mm. And they were better actors than
up.
Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford just looked, you're ready for him to drool. I just thought it was sad. And then, you know, the football game starts and they just start going through the people's lineups, like what college they're from, you know, whatever, Ben Roethlisberger, Penn State or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then one guy goes, you know, whatever it is, and it's like Johnson Street High School. I'm like,
no.
Good. And finally, because you know what? And they all come from colleges. And you know how like every year and every team has this. And I think like it's some law they have to do. You're allowed during training camp to be a nobody and come in and show your stuff for like 1 or 2 days. And coaches supposedly will look at you if you have the stuff it takes. Do you know? Like you didn't go through the ranks. You didn't play college ball, but you have an amazing skill and they're supposed to look at you. Baseball players do this too. Nobody ever gets picked up that way.
Yeah, how do you qualify to be that? To
right.
Come into
you just
randomly
you can just go for like 1 day. You can go and scouts will fucking see you.
What?
Yeah. I think a reason they don't do it is because they can't do the prestige of what college you came from, you know, on right wing. And then I'll be there, you know, Keith Malley, Mossy Project, nigga, what?
See, I really think that they want them to go to college. Like, I don't. Maybe I'm watching too many movies about football, but a lot of the football stars, they really only got into college because of football. So it doesn't even matter, high school or, you know, college. It's not like they went to college for academics. It's not like if they graduated, it's because,
right.
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like they just passed them just to get that football
right.
guy on.
Sure,
so
sure.
That high school guy doesn't need to be embarrassed. He just skipped, you know, all that bullshit and went straight to major
exactly,
leagues.
Right, right.
Is it major leagues for football?
Whatever, I know.
Whatever.
Who cares? the ads.
Everywhere.
Are always ridiculous, but... As you know, is it me? Because every you know we're paying more attention because it's the Super Bowl. Ridiculous, ridiculous.
And we're not talking about good commercials. First of all, the commercials
right.
were not really
commercials
all
are
that
commercials,
great.
And they weren't that great.
Yeah,
but the announcer throwing shit in. You know, oh look at the bus. They call him a bus, but he's tackling people like a GMC truck. GMC.
Right, 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 right. right. Everywhere. I'm here in the KFC studio and
right, right.
It's just weird stuff.
You know, they did what it takes right in the beginning. Now they can lean back like they're sitting on Levitt's furniture. Good job out there, boys. And I tell you what, I love this Bloomin' Onion. Well, they're not a sponsor. I know. I love the Bloomin' Onion.
That's the thing that you think that Keith is exaggerating, but no, that's what they did. Yeah. They named some sort of product, and then they went into what they're doing and where they're at.
As for commercials, though, and you know, like, somebody's paying. I think Matt brought this up. You know somebody's paying, you know, however many million
right.
for a, you know, 30-second spot. So, you know, what's a commercial? How many million's that? And you see a commercial for the Ford Hybrid, and all you can think about is how many people, again, Ford just laid off for that Super Bowl commercial. You're an out-of-work Ford employee watching this going, what the fuck?
I also heard that Ford...
You could have kept my whole family on for life.
Right. And not only are they laying people off, but I think it's Ford that in one of the major Ford places, I think it's the main Ford company.
Plant, right.
You can't park in the good parking lot. You have to cross over the bridge unless you have a Ford.
Really?
I believe it's that company. And
I bet that's not a company car.
And then they interviewed people for the news, and it's like, I would love to buy a Ford. I actually really like a Ford, but I can't afford it, you know? And he's like, I got this, you know, 1970 whatever, because that's all I can afford. It's like, you know, the shit car that you buy for whatever amount of money.
You have to park somewhere else and take the Ford bus.
You just have to walk. They show this bridge you have to walk across and then through the Ford parking lot until you get to your job. It's fucked up. And then I love the people who are into, well, you know, we are a Ford company and we should only be able to park. Are you stupid?
Right.
Are you stupid? It just drive what you're driving. I don't know if I have this job next year. And you know what? When I bought this car, I didn't know I was about to work for Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Hyundai right now. If I work for Ford tomorrow, I'm not selling my car in case they like me the next 10 years.
Do you get fired if you're walking around, you know, Apple and you're listening to the iRiver? Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
The ball's on you.
Right. Because you can't afford the $400 player.
Which, by the way, and, you know, this isn't here nor there, but Bill Gates and some other dude...
By the way, forgive me if I'm wrong. I feel the forums being like full of people.
No, that's familiar. That sounds familiar.
Okay.
It's GM at any rate.
Were you talking about Trump or something?
Oh no. Damn it. Bill Gates.
Okay.
Microsoft. Bill Gates and his partner, whoever started Microsoft, his partner owns the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
I just found that interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That's all.
It wasn't enough for him to own that. He had to start Microsoft, too.
Right, right.
Somebody has a little bit of change.
Now he's like, oh, the team's doing good. I quit. No more Microsoft. During the Super Bowl, commercial is a big time for movies. The only movie ad, I think, really was Mission Impossible 3.
I didn't even see that.
Which I have seen ads for before. And the bad guy is Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm trying to think what you would know him from. But he does all these indie movies. And you know he just goes on interviews and talks about, you know, the art of the indie movie. And, you know, and studio movies are bullshit. And we need to get to making real movies. And congratulations, Philip Seymour Hoffman, on your paycheck in Mission Impossible 3, which I haven't seen yet. I'm sure it takes a very artistic turn. Reminds me of Parker Posey. She's like the queen of independent cinema.
Sounds familiar.
Surprise. She was in Blade 3.
Oh, wow.
Is the money a little different?
It's like...
No, honestly, I think Blade 3 was a good movie. I think that I read the script and I was like, I can't say no.
It's like 10 years ago, I was walking around like, I don't care about money. Like, so what? And, you know, I could live wherever.
Right.
And I don't care that my bathroom is in the middle of my kitchen, so is my shower. And I have 5 roommates and blah, blah, blah. Mm. But we're all one and I'm going to be vegetarian and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, well, how much money do I get paid?
Right.
I still like my art. I still like doing whatever it is that I like doing. But seriously, unless you want me to be homeless and coming to the studio and doing shit, give me my money.
Right. The streets don't have extensions. The streets don't have plugs.
Right, right, right. Can we do it on the street?
Right. I feel so dumb saying this. I did not know there was that fifth black person in the Rolling Stones.
I loved watching the halftime show only because of that.
It kind of goes with fucking selling out. You don't mind that nobody knows you're in the band? You're in none of the pictures for 20 years. This dude, there's a black guy in the Rolling Stone for like 20 years, someone told me.
But here's what happened.
I had no clue. And I'm sorry, Ron Wood plays guitar. Obviously, who's the crackhead on their team in the band? I don't know why I can't think of his name, but, you know, obviously he plays guitar. I never thought, like, somebody's got to be playing bass. It's this black guy. Nobody ever knew.
Matt told you that he's been playing for 20 years, and you're like, there's no black guy in Rolling Stones.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you don't know that because they never put the camera on him. And then halftime turned out to be a game.
I feel like you're all fucking with me, you know? And I'm like, what?
Halftime was a game of where's the black guy on stage.
Right.
And he was always right out of camera sight.
Right. And they, you know, they told him to stand there. Everyone's allowed to prance around. The drummer's prancing around more than this guy. And Mick Jagger is singing, you know, and how he dances all around the stage, all faggy. It goes to a certain point, and you're like, okay, they're going to show him now, because they have to, because that's where Mick Jagger's walking. Mick Jagger stops right there, so the camera's not on the black guy, and walks the other way. There is no doubt that all that was deliberate, and it was ridiculous.
And you caught him here and there, right? Almost
here
by
and again, but you see a black shadow. You know, you see what you assume is a shadow in the background of a wide shot. So not only, it's one thing to go... To say, you know, Rolling Stones is doing this deliberately, that's fucked up. They're not manning the cameras. The NBC, or ABC rather, is manning the cameras.
So somebody had to say.
More than somebody. They told that whole control room, do not show the black person. They told them. That is a fact. Wow.
It's like you don't want to believe that it's true, but what else can it possibly be?
You weren't there in the beginning, you're not a Rolling Stone, and you never will be a Rolling Stone. I just want to make that clear. Now, would you like to make $500,000? Okay.
And nobody can fault him for that. It's like,
you should read that dude's message boards. Sell out.
But it doesn't even matter because nobody's finding his message boards. Nobody knows who he is.
Right.
So he can't be called a sellout.
And
he's just collecting.
You're at a party and you can't tell people you played for the Rolling Stones for 2 decades.
Nobody's going to believe you. Right. Yeah, a black guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I still remember the black guy
from
Rolling
Stones.
Oh, is the
Ching Chong on your team too? All right. Okay. Fucking United Nations. I didn't notice.
I love that. The Ching Chong gets the Ching Chong name.
And then, but at the end, they do all come out, you know, all 5 of them, and take a bow. guess who's on the end, so he's easily cropped out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's just insane.
And on top of it all, February is Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we have a special.
We're doing
for
a special
Black
thing.
History
we didn't bring
Month.
This up yet.
Yeah. You know, some of our fans already bought a T-shirt, but for Black History Month, we want to say, buy a nigga a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. It's buy a nigga a T-shirt month. If
right.
you know a black person, male or female, doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter.
In fact, mm-hmm. he just has to be darker than you.
If they're darker than you in any way.
So Keith has to buy me a Keith and the Girl T-shirt because
mm-hmm.
I am his nigga.
Mm-hmm.
So declare your nigga month.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, get him a T-shirt, go to the store, and help
special,
bring races together.
For a special, and I didn't discuss this with you, but I'm going to throw it in. If you do buy a T-shirt for your nigga,
right.
you get a free whore sticker.
All so, right. Because you know what? You can, I know, you know, there's a lot of places in this country that don't enjoy the black man, but you know what's worse? Robots. Let's join forces now. Let's join forces now. I want to read some emails. We weren't able to see you Friday. We told you we had to go out and do some shit.
I was a little sicky poo.
You were a little sicky poo too when there was time. I want to go over some emails real quick.
Let's do it.
Usually I am able to quickly write a note like I got your guys' emails, but emails lately have been so long that I'd have to print them out and read them when I'm somewhere else.
Like on the toilet.
Right. So then I'm
on
never
a drive.
Able, right. So I'm never able to go back. You know,
oh, and say,
you know, I just acknowledge I got your message, but I get your messages.
If your
just
email
so you know,
was long, we got it and we read it outside of where our computer is.
It just might take a week to get to. So you probably wrote this a week ago. But and you'll get to some that I really like. But a lot of you fuckers, blah, 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 we're for nothing. Two pages. And I learned you jerk off on your floor, too. On the 13th year of my birth on this earth, I know, get to the story. And I like how only I can relate to this person. Like, I woke up that morning, and I'm hard. I mean, I have a morning hard on. Keith will know what I mean. Everybody knows what you mean.
The only time they say that I'll know what they mean is when, like, and I jerked off all day. Right, Hamda? Thank you. Yes.
Hamda will understand that.
You know, you jerk off once in a while for an entire day, and nobody lets
right,
it go.
Right. Keith and Hamda, when I was 15 or so, I hooked up with a chick whose dad was known to be a bit overprotective. She told me he'd probably try and break my hand when he shakes it and then interrogate me. I was over her house one day after school while her parents were still at work. Her titties were out and I was fingering her. See, I like that.
I like this
Get
guy
to the
gets
story.
Right to it.
She's undone my jeans and was stroking and sucking my cock. You know what that's like, Keith. A while into this, we heard a car pull up in the driveway. Of course, it was her dad. We put on and did up our clothes and as quick as we could, and somehow managed to get everything looking the way it should be before he got to the door. The TV was already on, and we were on the couch, so I thought we'd be all right.
And why do I feel like there's something wrong?
When he came in, no, that's it. So it was cool, but that was a close one. The end. When he came in, she introduced me, so I got up to shake his hand. My shirt was long and loose enough that he didn't notice that I still had a boner. Unfortunately, in the rush to get dressed, I'd forgotten to wipe his daughter's pussy juice off my hands. I put my hand out for him to shake, and he did try to crush it until he realized that my hand was covered in something slimy. At that point, he got that what the fuck look on his face. I told him it was nice to meet him, but that I was late for basketball practice and I had to head off and walked straight out the door. I still wonder if he knew what it was.
Oh, God.
Do you reckon that's karma for him being a dickhead to his previous boyfriends, to her previous boyfriends?
Now, I wonder, so we get so many emails about what happens in something fucked up when people were younger. And, like, an older person is somewhere in the vicinity, like that teacher that was sitting right next to the girl who was getting fingered and, you know, just all this kind of stuff. Now I'm wondering in my adult life what fucked up thing happened while I'm around some freaking young person.
Never. When next to something of the opposite sex or same sex, there's no reason to have a blanket on, but same sex and you have that blanket over
right.
top you.
Never.
No blankets.
No blanket.
No blankets.
As a matter of fact, like, we learned from me and my
next
door neighbor.
From us
right?
doing it. No blankets.
The next door neighbor thing, if they're of the opposite sex and they're talking or fighting or scratching or pinching or even like, why are they the only ones up in the middle of the night? No,
right,
something's
right.
going on. Something is happening. Why are they even talking to each other, whether it be cursing each other out or just, you know, watching TV together?
Right.
The first time I ever got felt up was like in the same room as him and his sisters. Okay. They were on the other side of the room.
Him and his sisters?
Yeah, the my next door neighbor was feeling me up while I was laying on a couch. He was sitting
Next to him and his sister.
His sisters his older sister and younger sister were on the other was on the other side of the room, and I was getting felt up, and I was like, "Holy shit, I'm getting felt up!" Well, the first time, I mean, that's kinky. People don't do that now in their adult life; they consider it kinky. Back then, it's like, "Whoa, I'm getting felt up."
Yeah, there you were just getting it.
You know what? Yeah,
extra kinky bonus.
Yeah, and you know how it started? Playfully.
Right.
That's how, you know what, guys, if you're wondering how to feel a person up and you're not, like, you're not sure how to make that first move, when you're younger, it's okay to joke around. He, like, kind of felt me up, and I'm like, what? And then I'm like, okay, that was just a joke, haha. Like, he's not really, hey, he just did it. Hey, that kind of feels good. Hey, I'm getting felt up. Oh, my God.
bringing up, by the way, I'm drinking, because the computer's frustrating me, and sitting at the computer just makes you tired, and I'm still out of it, you know, because of yesterday. I'm drinking
one of
those energy drinks.
Full Throttle.
Full Throttle has a bad taste, but I'm drinking Monster, and it tastes like all of them. It tastes like Red Bull and all that. It just,
like sugar?
No, it doesn't taste like sugar. It tastes like factory.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It tastes like something not right for the body.
Right. And I think
it tastes like chemicals. That's what it tastes like. I taste chemicals.
I always think it's so funny when you drink that because you're so immune to it. You wait until you're shaking, tired, and then you think like some kind of caffeine or energy drink will fix it, and it really fucks you up.
Yeah.
So congratulations to me.
Let's see how this goes. But you were talking about you know, old people watching you and stuff like this. Hello, I am an old man who listens to you often.
All right.
Oh, I have comment and appreciation for Keith and the Girl as the subject. I enjoy getting the random shows as is easier than getting the long overnight downloads. I don't
get it.
I got a he's old. He doesn't really make sense. I got a comment, and even though you won't like it, I'm doing it because I like you, and I want you to succeed.
Oh, fucking hell.
There we go. You know already.
Dad, is it you?
Yeah, yeah. Keith, you are funny, but what if you used your humor to help the Lord spread his message? I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It really scared me for a second.
You are funny. Your presentation in the live concerts, which I get, maybe he bought the DVD.
Wow, he really is old. Your live concerts?
Right, right. Has material that is humorous, insightful, but somehow the timing needs some work. Slow down. You often are deep and you go into the next line, overrating your own material. Give them a chance to absorb your humor and observations. I do talk fast. I do talk fast in my stand-up. The show has the same speed. If your problem with the timing is me talking too fast, no. No. You know, not to sound like a dick, but this upcoming DVD, I could have slowed down. I could have exaggerated things like any other comic and got three CDs out of that easily.
You could have waited for more laughs.
Could have waited for more. Right.
I think that's going to be the only problem tomorrow night is people are going to laugh and it's going to be like too much noise and they miss the beginning of the next thing.
Then I guess you got to buy it.
I guess so.
But no, I know what they're saying, but no. You know, it's like this show. They're like, they move so quick from topic to topic. You know, whenever we first started doing the live shows and people would be like, I don't know when to call in. And that was just an excuse because, you know, they're nervous about calling in. But I don't know when to call in because they go from topic to topic. Why not? You know, what are we going to talk about for a half hour?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how normal shows are. That's how normal stand-up is. And normally both suck.
And plus we only have an hour to get out whatever. We shouldn't stretch one thingy.
Right.
One subject for that hour.
Keith, you really need to, you have a need to freak people out, but they just want to laugh and don't need to be shocked. I think if you do your real own personality, they will love you.
Your daughter is jerking off to this.
Right. Trust me. This is my personality. You don't have to make fucking excuses for me. Don't force your presentation on the crowd. You obviously admire Jerry Seinfeld's techniques.
What?
Old people don't know anybody else other than Jerry Seinfeld, honestly. Who else do you know? That Jew comic. Those are the only, you know, the Jackie
Jerry
Mason. Those are the only two you guys know. You know?
You old Jews.
Obviously, you like Jerry Seinfeld's technique. Why?
I don't get it. Oh, because it's observational humor?
What
but
humor
Jerry Seinfeld
isn't? There's
is
observational
very...
humor. People ask me, like, what's your humor? And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Jokes. Right.
Yeah, I
there's
guess
observational
everything is
humor,
observational.
And then there's you know, like Jackie Martling and the new Gilbert Gottfried, where they just tell jokes.
Oh, it's like
so
punchline jokes.
Yeah. I feel stupid. I feel like the word's overplayed. I don't know. I feel dumb going, it's observational humor. What isn't?
Right.
What's your show like? Observational show.
You actually sounded like a retard.
Right,
when you
right.
said that.
I feel dumb. But, I mean, I enjoyed Jerry Seinfeld's I'm Telling You for the Last Time. When I saw it, you know,
Oh, is that the name of his DVD?
Yeah. It was a big deal. He's on all the news things saying, you know, I'm not using these jokes again. And I was like, you're not supposed to.
Right. How many
I'm never going to use these again. You're not supposed to. You're an adult now. You come up with new jokes.
But I got to say that people want to hear the same jokes. Like they yell the same
jokes. I'm just saying that his thing. I'm not saying my old point. I'm saying him specifically. I'm like, oh, my God, how are you going to do it? He's a comic. He's going to do it the same way he came up with the first set of jokes.
Right.
He never saw, this is Jerry Seinfeld, he never saw a need to push it into your face. You also, Keith, have to adopt what this old man sees as a work ethic. You've commented on your time in jail, your lack apparently of any long-term jobs or gigs.
Oh my God, is this your dad?
Does this mean that that the world is out of step? Do you have to approach things with the attitude, if you don't like it, screw you, if you don't get it? I think you can be successful, but look at your age and your present today, February 4th, 2006, financial situation. I agree. I'm 30 years old. I personally think you can be doing better, and you have the talent and the mind to do it. The best goes to you and the girl. My best goes to you and the girl.
You know what's funny is he's not criticizing me.
He will.
Oh, okay.
The girl, here's to you.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I have pretty much the same amount of money.
But absolutely, you know, you can pick on that point, you know, 30 years old, having trouble paying rent. But, you know, in my defense, it took me a while to figure out, you know, exactly what I want to do and how I want to do it.
Right.
And now I know. Now we're doing the show.
And you know
a
what's
weird?
A year
from now, if we have the same amount of money doing this stupid show, then you know, then
we're
you have
start
a point.
Being upset.
Then you have a point. Yeah. The girl, I like your intelligence. I understand your need for Keith. I know you like to use your Jewishness as a sort of shield against people who may not understand or appreciate fully your musical abilities.
What? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
My Jewishness makes people not like my music?
You use your Jewishness as a shield against people who may not understand or appreciate fully your musical abilities.
I don't get it.
When does she ever talk about, really, her musical abilities? You know, when are you like, my music? And then somebody goes, I don't really care for and this music. Yeah, well, I'm Jewish. What do you expect?
I don't know.
You are a bright girl. You, however, a dreamer, a hoper.
Okay.
Do something. Yeah. Give up like I did. Do something positive. The world is not against you. I am not against you. I want you to succeed. You are undoubtedly talented. Jewish girl, you sound bright, yet you cannot say a sentence without using the word like to precede every phrase you ever use. Like we're using Audacity. Like what? Like more letters? It makes you sound like a blonde, which is rare among the Jewish girls I have known and loved. I offer the next paragraph to both of you.
I gotta say, the like thing, I'd like to think that I don't say it as much as the real Jappy girls, but I know that sometimes I get in the groove of abusing the word.
You notice when other people say it more than I do, but I don't notice you saying it.
I can't stand it, and when I do use it in a bad way, I apologize to everybody listening.
This is February 2006. Where are you each today? Let's evaluate.
Holy shit.
What do you do for a living? Throw that in.
Please, yeah.
You have a highly entertaining internet show, Keith and the Girl.
Thank you.
But you both, through your show, show a big piss-offness at society and how they accept you.
I wonder why he listens.
Yeah, I think it...
What should we start talking about?
Because that's what you want to hear. You want to hear things, you know, things... hello, and welcome to the show. Another good day today, because it's sunny out. Anytime it's sunny, it's a good day. Am I wrong? Anytime we're alive, it's a good day. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things we can complain about. Why don't we talk about the things that are good?
Why don't we talk about why I love being Jewish?
Let me sing you why I love being Jewish.
Like, I totally, like, love it. Like.
You are misunderstood. You are underpaid. You are underemployed. You are right. The rest are probably wrong. Or, I think that was like a smart way, like
right,
the way
yeah.
we say it. Or you would like money for what you do. We all do. But XM and Sirius are not likely to pick you up. You need a real format. What you do best is your take on the latest news. Have you seen Colbert on Comedy Central or wherever he is?
Copy him.
Right. Do that.
He only listens for the news. Right. You know what? I'm sure a lot of people only listen for this, that, and the other.
Right, of course.
Everyone can write us a letter like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But please don't.
You know what I like? I like the Colbert Report. So I know you don't know and don't care about politics at all, but that's fine. Do that take on it.
Yeah, our politics are so ignorant. Right. You don't want that.
Keith, you could be funny on the conservative side.
Why?
I don't know. If
are
anything, I'd be on the other side. Yeah. Keith, show your respect.
Oh, I know why he thinks you're conservative, because you act like a racist sometimes. So that's conservative.
Okay.
But Keith will kill a baby in a minute.
Oh, I meant conservative. No, I meant, I guess that's the side you take. But the joke on Colbert, to talk about it anyway, is that he is conservative. Obviously, he's making, in real life, obviously he's liberal and he's making, you know, liberal digs. But the point is, he is, you know, a big right. flag waving.
Hippie.
Hippie.
Liberal.
No, opposite.
He's a conservative.
Yeah, on the show. And, you know, he's acting like, you know, what a great country and take advantage of workers and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Keith, show her respect and make her not the girl, but her name.
Mm.
Keith and Judy.
I haven't gotten that in a while.
Ready? Or whatever her name is.
That's nice.
Goldie, Stella.
What?
He doesn't know your name.
Is he trying to pick Jewish names? Because he's off by a lot.
Keith, I like your basic conservatism and realize that the girl is pretty liberal. I enjoy your bidet conversation. She is open to your subjects. Delightful. I've heard your talks on all of your odd jobs. One day gigs as a clown, waiters, balloon. How long have you listened to the show?
That sounds like a long time, right?
Or not a long time. He doesn't know your name. I only worked one day as a clown.
Yeah, but he doesn't know my name because a lot of people don't understand that it is my name when you say it.
Right.
You know, okay. It's one of those, like, oh, I didn't catch that right. word.
Which, by the way, I'm deliberately not saying.
Me too.
You guys are a trip, and I hope you are eating well and not using welfare.
Oh, my God, it's my mother.
I have a suggestion. How old are you? Just say how old you are.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You can't help it. You just turn into this when
oh
you become an age.
Oh, my God.
If worst comes to worst, you guys could put up your artiste personas aside and work at McDonald's like the rest of your friends who have bucks for eating out, paying rent on time, buying gas. Yes, they have cars, etc. This is exactly how my dad talks.
Wow.
It's like, yes, people at work at McDonald's can save money and buy cars, son.
By the way, none of our friends work at McDonald's. We have a lawyer friend that we've
mentioned. How about putting
your
pride away, give the fuck up, and take a regular job like I did?
Right.
You may come down on me. I did. I'm glad you gave us permission. I welcome it. Good. Oh. I took the liberty. I am WOG, W-O-G, and am indeed an internet cricket. Look up WOG. No, old man. I won't. I'll never know.
Well,
I'll never know, and I don't
his,
mind not knowing.
He's got it. That's not his whole email, right?
No, this is how he brings it back.
Okay.
My best to both of you. You're funny, introspective, decadent, and very 2006.
Decadent. I want cake.
I believe you can succeed, can get rid of the likes.
Oh, that's the word my likes.
And
yeah.
get the timing. Slow the fuck down because I'm old and can't pick things up so fast. And I will smile when I see you on American Idol in 2007. You are an old man. What
I'm
a
not...
terrible idea.
What?
What? So we'll see you American Idol in 2007. You know what matters. like my dad, how come you're not on American Idol?
Right.
Why don't you do Last Comic Standing?
Right.
Or in Rolling Stone by August this year. Thanks for the fun, Jerry Briggs, WOG.
Thanks, WOG.
White old geriatric.
Isn't that with a J?
I don't know. It'd be nice if you guys can look up the words that you're using. Funny bathroom story. Driving from Atlanta, Georgia to the fine city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, I stopped at a truck stop for an emergency poo. It's only a 2-hour drive, but the Mexican from the night before didn't want to stay in me any longer, so I had no choice.
Mexican.
Anyway, I get in the stall and sit down. Then I notice someone else get into the stall next to me. This, of course, is because earlier we were talking about
people talking to you while you're pooing or peeing.
Right. No big deal, right? Next thing you know, the guy starts talking to me. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's weird because they're both in stall, so they're right. both pooing. Right. That's just odd.
You're not on the same level because you're both shitting.
Right.
You know?
That's weird. Like, I'm wiping, but right. I need to discuss something
it's
with
like,
you.
It's like we said before. It's like Ugh. Being in the gym and two guys are naked. Or a guy's naked, so a naked guy comes over and starts talking to him. Just cause
in the
you
locker
both,
room?
Right. Just because yeah. you both have your clothes off doesn't mean you're on the same level.
Right. Ugh.
I have liquid poo coming out of me, and last thing I need is a conversation. The guy is like, how's your day going? And I'm like, it's okay. But I say in a pissed off way, so the guy would get the idea. I don't want to chat. Then the guy says, where are you headed to now? Okay, I'm about to get really pissed, but the guy sounds big, and this is a truck stop bathroom, and I want to piss him off. So I say, I'm headed to Chattanooga. Then the guy asks what I'm doing for dinner.
Oh, my God.
I start to really get scared now because there is no one else in the bathroom. This is starting to look like a trailer for Deliverance 2, which, by the way, you saw the movie Deliverance, right? And the guy gets fucked in the ass, right?
Yeah.
He could have tried a little fucking harder.
I love saying that. Every time this movie gets brought up, you have to say that.
This fat pig is, he's not tied down. He's out of breath. He's out of breath from trying to run away from these guys. And he's like, oh, there's nothing I can do. I will squeal.
I usually agree with you, but you know what? you're not heavy enough to feel that kind of out of breathedness. Where he's to him, it feels like how you felt when you were drowning. There's nothing you can do.
You can always go. You
no,
can always
you're drowning.
Crawl one more thing. Drowning's totally different. Drowning takes up your whole fucking body. It'd be like I've ran to the point of exhaustion. I can always run two more steps.
If somebody's going to rape you.
If somebody's going to rape me. Do you know that? You know those moms that get super strength when their kid's head is stuck under a car wheel?
That should be you.
Where's your super strength? You wanted it.
Oh, my God. Remind me never to get raped and come tell you.
It depends what happens. I hope you were tied up.
Baby!
Well, you know, any answer is going to be weird. So I tell the guy it's none of his business about what I'm doing for dinner. And he says, hold on, honey. Some dickhead thinks I'm talking to him. To close out the AOL thing, to talk about it for the last time.
The AOL that's fucking me and taking $14.95 every month.
And then had the balls to charge you four times in one day.
Right.
I actually work for a credit card company as a fraud investigator, no less. Closing your account does work for most companies, but there are some exceptions. Everybody's saying close your account. AOL is one of these exceptions.
Not the AOL account. Close my credit card
Correct.
Account.
Correct.
Which,
never
by the
had
way,
AOL.
Links to my bank, and so I have to get a new everything. Right. So, no.
They happen to have an agreement with Visa that will provide them with the updated account number if the card was replaced. Certain large companies with reoccurring transactions do this to prevent people from canceling accounts, gym memberships, and cell phone contracts, for example.
I guess that makes sense.
Though personal experience, the only way to stop AOL is to complete their own fraud procedure. Isn't that
Which
weird?
Is what?
Yeah, complete. You want your money back from me? You have to go to my bullshit department and tell that department that
I
I'm
went
bullshit.
There. They said to contact my
bank. But isn't
bank.
That some, though? You go through our fraud department.
Right.
Tell us what we did wrong.
Yeah, we fucked up. Fill out these right. We fucked up letters right. for us.
If you don't, they'll end up billing you multiple times worth of charges at a later date on your new number. Through personal experience, the only way to stop AOL is to complete their fraud procedure. Good luck. Okay.
Thanks. I have to do that. I have to try that, and I have to try yelling at them. That's the two things I didn't try yet.
Corby from the Twisted Pickle Show. It's
The Twisted Pickle is this guy who podcasts without his wife knowing, and he actually says like. So then I was over her friend's house. This fucking chick likes to talk. Oh, hold on. I think my wife is coming down to the basement. And then the next second is, yeah, she was here. I had to stop. And so here we are starting again.
And he wrote before, like, thanks for mentioning me on the show. Thanks for mentioning the show. You know, he'll send out emails like, vote for me at Podcast Alley or whatever. And, this and that. And so he wants his show to get more famous. But his wife can never know.
And you know
and
what?
And I said, and dude, you want the fucking attention? I'll interview on this show.
I would love
Set up a fucking time. It's like hard to schedule time because he's got to be home and able to use the phone. He's like, oh, there's a 10-minute window on this day and this day. Oh, I had to stay at work late. I couldn't do it.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. He could be out fucking someone, but instead he's doing a podcast.
A show.
So you got to listen to him.
Right. So yeah, so Corby, man, I want to do this show already and know what the fuck.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Teach some guys the secrets. These idiot guys that are getting caught every day. And you have a show. And you went to a podcasting convention.
Right.
And your wife thought you were just a fan of podcasts. Hey, Keith and Hemda, this is him. My wife works for a bank. She has the direct number to AOL's fraud department. Says this does a trick every time she disputes for her clients. Have Hemda give it a call and see if this direct number will fix her problem. Just have her tell them she got their number from her bank. My wife loves to stick her finger in the eye of AOL. They are, quote, the fucking worst, according to her. 1-800-307-7969.
I have to try that. The thing is, I always have to get the nerve to call them because I get so upset.
Right.
So when I call, I have to wait a few days for the next call.
800-307-7969. Let me know if it works or just toss a verbal Shooter McGavin to the Twisted Pickle Show. You got it. You got it. Dude, you want to be the number two show? Do our interview. These people fucking bombard you. There's no way your wife's not going to know, though.
I don't know. He's doing a great job so
good.
Far. How does he have the equipment in his basement? How is he hiding anything?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, this is different. Then my parents don't know what I'm doing. But how many people's parents know what they're doing? I don't live with them anymore, and I you don't have to tell them everything. And, yeah, we're going to be more you know, famous, and you know, people will get to know us more, and then I'll have to figure out how to tell my parents. But I don't have to live with them.
You don't have to answer to your parents if you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to get a divorce from my parents because I've been hiding this. You know, they just will never talk to me again.
Right. Dear Rodent Avenger of Death.
Dear what?
Rodent Avenger of Death.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I destroy mice's lives. Before we were talking about. I always forget. Bill, I always forget his name. Who invented cursing?
Who invented cursing?
Yeah, who's the comic?
Oh, some comic. I don't know. I can't remember.
I forget his name. And he had this show called In His Own Words. And I thought it was weird. Like, all you're doing is you're doing this guy's act. And I'm like, you know, is it too early to do Andrew Dice Clay, for example, In His Own Words? And this dude writes, after listening to your latest show, and the comments about the concept of a Dice in His Own Words tribute show, I spied a catalog slash program for the Sydney Comedy Festival happening down here in Australia over March. A few pages enough, I found this. Cracker Comedy presents A Fistful of Dice, rated R, the ultimate Andrew Dice Clay tribute show.
Oh, that's like when people do bands. They do tribute bands.
Yeah, he's doing tribute humor. The likeness is bizarre. It is like Galea, I don't know, has a direct astral channel. Oh, the guy's name, I'm sorry. It's like Galea has a direct astral channel to Dice Clay at his funniest, says Metropolis Magazine. That's what's cool about doing a show, by the way, that really is worldwide, and you can find out other countries. So much shit goes on that we have no idea.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has to pay Dice a certain amount.
Good point.
If he gets big, I guess.
And what Dice did he do? Does he do the earlier Dice where, you know, is this crazy or whatever? Or the Dice now... I forget that guy's name that got raped. Beatty. It's not Warren Beatty, but Ned Beatty in Deliverance. Ned Beatty's the fat pig.
Oh, okay.
That's how Dice is now in his career. You listen to like the album Face Down, Ass Up and the Filth albums that you can only get on the internet.
How is he raping someone?
No, he's done. He's so sweaty, and you hear it in his voice, and bloated, and like, and I'm fucking this chick over there, I'm over here, and you just hear like in his voice, like, I'd still love
really?
It, but it's like, yeah, it's like he's bloated, and
wow.
You know, I'm not taking anything away from the greatest, don't get me wrong, but
I am.
I want to know which Dice is he doing, the skinny Elvis or the fat Elvis? The 1980s might have given us Michael Bolton, shoulder pads, and big hair, but thankfully it also gave us the in-your-face comedy of Andrew Dice Clay. Famous for his political incorrectness, the ferocious Dice Clay took the saccharine, uptight 80s, and King hit him. For one night only, comic virtuoso Grant Galea pays homage to the Dice Man at Cracker.
By the way, isn't it homage and not homage?
Homage. What did I say?
I think it's homage.
It's homage.
Yeah.
Homage. to the Dice Man at Cracker. Fresh for Las Vegas, supporting Nancy Sinatra, one of Australia's leading club entertains Galea. I don't know. They talk funny down there. But anyway, do not miss this freak, it says.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. Hey, kids, regarding seagulls and happy slapping and all that shit, it reminded me of a somewhat similar thing that happened in my high school called moondogging.
See what?
Seagull.
Seagull and happy slapping is when you jerk off into your hand and then you slap someone with it.
Kids
and all the
it.
Kids are doing it.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to, all of a sudden, you know, wearing a blanket with someone from the opposite sex in my house isn't so creepy. I'm not sure what the name means, moondogging, but here's how it worked. On the bus trip to the first out-of-town football game of the year, a bunch of guys would hold some freshman or sophomore down in the back of the bus.
Oh, no.
And then some guy, usually the biggest, fattest linebacker, would drop his pants and wedge the kid's nose in his dirty, sweaty ass crack.
Ew.
Moondoggers would take extra pride if they could wipe actual shit all over the kid's face as opposed to the more usual butt sweat. Either way, it was pretty gross.
Can I tell you what's weird in my head right now is I think that's more mean than slapping somebody with your cum.
You know what? This is a very interesting discussion. What is grosser, seagulls or moondogging?
I think moondogging because it's just so mean that people are holding you down, that people are watching you, that there's shit on your face, that there's an ass in your face. Rather than a quick slap, you get embarrassed nice and quick and you go,
the embarrassment factor is different because, you know, all those, you know what? Seagulling's worse. There's the faggot part of seagulling where you got this guy's cum on your face.
Yeah, the only thing I'd be worried about is diseases.
It is faster.
But there are the diseases in your shit, too.
That's true, too. Ever go to the doctor and like, are you into anal sex? I'm like, what? And they're like, don't mess with that. That's dangerous. We see people all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the doctor's told that to you?
They always say it. It's like, so you don't want to mess with that.
He's trying to check to see if you're gay or not.
Right. I think he's just checking. Yeah. Now let me hold your balls. You know what I mean? So, but
that's a great discussion. Thank you.
But it's nice and quick. The moondogging, though, you know, all these kids are doing it to you, so that's more embarrassing. It's longer. It lasts a lot longer than taking down the ass in your face. Who knows when they stop? It's like, you know, Ned Beatty just waiting there getting raped. It's like, you can't fucking do nothing. However,
I think it's like having people watch you get raped.
Exactly.
And holding you down.
However, this happened to everybody on the bus.
No, I don't believe that when they say that. This happened to everybody on the bus. Everybody. Not just the kids that can be held down and get made fun of.
I don't know. I think it's like...
It happens to the cool kids.
It sounds like a fraternity.
No.
No?
No, I don't buy it. No.
Okay.
No, and even fraternities, people get really fucked.
People get really fucked?
Yeah. I don't know. No.
All right. The weird thing, I think I mentioned this, but I like that idea of doing that shit in the guy's face, and I think it makes you brothers. I think it makes you closer. Remember my theory on...
Not when you do it like that. You know, fraternities do it different. They ask you if you want some more, and you say, yes, please, I want some more, and they give it to you.
But you don't really want more.
Right. But you're saying it. This kid is being held down.
But you're saying it?
Maybe he doesn't want to be in this fraternity.
He doesn't have to be in the football team, does he?
He doesn't want to be in this fraternity, but he's being held. You know, this is...
He wants to be in the fraternity. He could find a way to say no.
I don't think they're best friends after... And you know what? I don't think the bus driver gives a shit. And I don't think they're best friends after they put shit on your mouth. No.
The weird thing was, I'm pretty sure there's no adult at our school even know that moondogs were happening. Well, I hope not. The kids... Kids. He keeps using the plural. The kids who received them were way too embarrassed to report it.
See? So it's not everyone...
Thanks for the quality entertainment you provide. Thank you for your quality letter. Sick fuck. There, Keith and the girl. Hey, I was emailing about a shitty teacher I have. She's constantly screaming at me in front of the class and continues to be a bitch.
This is a 13-year-old, I'm going to guess.
I can't really walk up to her and say fuck you, so I was wondering if you could help me with some revenge. I've tried putting laxatives in her coffee, but apparently that doesn't work. You don't get the payoff. You never know if it worked or didn't. But apparently she already takes...
She probably wants it because that's just more pounds lost.
But apparently she already takes them, see? So I have no fucking idea what to do. It would be great if you could help me out. Thanks, love the show. Alec in New Mexico, which sucks. LOLZ. The thing is,
lols.
I don't know if that's ironic. But I will say this. The best revenge? Being successful. Why don't you do your fucking homework? A, so she doesn't pick on you. And B, show her, hey, look, I'm doing good. I got A's in your class.
You cannot be serious.
You know? I don't say, get back your teacher. For what? Nothing was in your letter. For taking the fucking finest job this country has to offer? How about a little respect? How about an apple or 20?
Oh, he's saying put it in her apple.
No, seriously, you come in tomorrow, you and your buddies, you moondog the bitch.
Baby.
What?
No.
Just a moondog. She's not going to tell anybody. She's going to be embarrassed.
No, you can happy slap because she won't know where it came from because she's blinded by your cum. Whereas moondogging, she's taking notes.
You know what? Do both and you tell me which one's more humiliating.
I feel really gross telling a 13-year-old that because I feel like he's 13.
They wrote the letters. I just report.
What if it's a girl and we're just assuming?
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay.
What?
All right. Here's his name. Ready? That he had to sign up for his email.
Don't say the full one.
I am. Here's his name.
No.
Punk Zombie. Your teacher's right and you're wrong. Go to fucking school and get good grades. Next thing you know, you're going to be fucking, you know, you'll go out to a big city, thinking you have what it takes.
And you're 30 years old and you can't pay the rent and somebody has to write you a stern letter.
Let me tell you something. Do you know that your friends that work at McDonald's and try, you know, they're able to go on dates, they're able to drive their girl. Yes, these people have cars.
By the way, whatever you end up doing, please don't post it on MySpace. That will come back and haunt you. You fucking retard.
What is your MySpace? Let's take a look at you. You know, you can fucking judge people by the cover just fine. I'll look at you, and I'll tell you who's right. All right, no show tomorrow because I got to get these DVDs and shit done.
So we'll see you back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
KeithandtheGirl.com.
I'm not complaining. It's a great job, but I could have done a lot worse. I go back to Massachusetts, I see that. A lot of the guys I grew up with, and it's sad. Say, what have you been doing the last 10 years? They go, things are great. I'm making $16 an hour. That's all I have to say. First words out of their mouth is their hourly wage. How much is it worth for them to have their lives suck? $16 an hour. How's Dave? Oh, not so good. He's only making $9 an hour. He was making 13, but he got laid off. But they brought him back. But he's dating a chick who's getting $14 an hour plus bennies. Do you get benefits? Yeah, I get benefits. Sometimes after a show, a girl I don't even know that's drunk will blow me for no reason. Then I take the money I saved and I pay for my own dental.